A few years ago, it was discovered that intestinal microbes can detoxify certain drugs and affect the dose that a patient effectively receives. Egatella lenta, for instance, can degrade the cardiac drug digoxin. What scientists didn't know was why they do this and what role this might serve for the microbe. Now, a broad sweep taking in a larger range of E. lenta strains has revealed something very intriguing. The genes that do this seem to serve no direct purpose whatsoever for the bacterium, and not all strains actually carry them. So could the bacterium be making these gene products just for our benefit?
I'm Peter Turnbull. I'm an assistant professor in the Department of Microbiology and Immunology at UCSF. Our lab is really interested in ways in which bacteria that are found within our gut metabolize the drugs that we take. We've known that microbes can impact drug metabolism for many years, but we know very little about the details and how important they are for the outcome of a given medication.
Now, when you say they metabolize the drugs that we swallow, or they change them in some way, is that because they just naturally happen to have metabolic pathways, enzymes that can do that, or is there more to it than that?
Yeah, so that's one of the questions that we tackle here. There's a general question of, you know, why bacteria would choose to metabolize a drug. Is that because they're intentionally targeting the drug with enzymes that are specifically evolved to modify those types of compounds? Or is it because they're intending to metabolize something else that's normally in the body and they have promiscuous enzyme activity, so their enzymes may actually be able to accept and not just normal compounds that are found in the body, but also drugs?
So how did you look into this?
We, a few years ago, had identified two genes that were found in this prevalent member of our gut microbiome named Egatella lenta by using something called RNA sequencing. So we had looked for, you know, genes that were turned on in the presence of the drug, and that had really allowed us to zoom in and focus on these two particular genes. But one of the challenges is that at the time, we didn't know whether or not these genes were the correct ones responsible for the reaction. And we knew very little about their biochemistry and how exactly they worked. To get at that, we started by comparing a broad collection of different strains. Originally, we had discovered that not all strains of this particular type of bacteria are the same. And so by expanding that now to 25 different strains, we were able to look across the entire genome of this bacteria and find that there's actually just one set of genes that's found in all of the strains that can metabolize the drug digoxin and missing in all the strains that can't metabolize the drug.
Now, it's interesting, isn't it, that the bacterium has this ability. When you look at that gene and you look at the biochemistry that's making the degradation of the drug possible, what does it tell you about the possible role for that gene in this group of bacteria?
What was really surprising is that we found that this enzyme doesn't work very well against compounds that are normally in the body. It seems to only be capable of metabolizing digoxin, this cardiac drug, as well as other closely related compounds that are represent other toxic compounds found in plants. And so, you know, unlike what we had expected, it doesn't look like this enzyme is acting on compounds that are normally found in the body. It seems to be really specifically tailored for plant toxins.
So what's it doing there?
Yeah, I mean, it's still really a mystery why bacteria would hang on to a gene and an enzyme that doesn't normally have an important role in the body. And so it could be that we just haven't found what it's normally metabolizing in our body. Or alternatively, it could be that, you know, bacteria are just maintaining these really specialized enzymes in the off chance that we may ingest a toxin.
Well, people do say we should regard the microbiome as an additional organ in its own right because of the huge number of molecular knives and forks that they bring to the table. So this sort of could fit that, couldn't it, in the sense that we could be providing a home for these bugs, and the payback is that they detoxify things from plants that we eat.
Yeah, I think that's a really fascinating way to think about it. What's surprising to me is that, you know, this may be a case where the particular knife or fork that these bacteria are using to deal with these toxins may not benefit the bacterium itself, but may only, you know, serve to benefit the bacteria through this indirect effect on the host.
Now, given that you've discovered this and that it may be potentially generalizable to many more organisms and therefore many other compounds, something like a third of the top 10 agents in a doctor's medicine bag have direct origins in nature. So does this mean then that we actually probably should be a lot more careful about how we trial agents and how we test agents that are orally active in order to take into account what you have found here?
Yeah, that's something that we think about a lot in our lab, how this information could be used in drug development or even, you know, after drugs are on the market. Can we gather data that would help us determine whether or not the microbiome is having an effect on a particular drug?